It's a small world. I'm blessed. Are you blessed? I'm blessed. Turn with me to Psalm 100. Thanksgiving is a special time for me. When I was growing up, I grew up in a little town, Burnside, Kentucky. Town sits right on Lake Cumberland. Thanksgiving was the only time of the year that my entire family got together. Christmas, we were different places and spread out and all that, but Thanksgiving was a blessed time for me. I was blessed to be in a great family growing up, a family where people went to church. We prayed at Thanksgiving. We focused on the Lord. I was blessed to grow up in a small town. I was of Burnside. People knew everybody. That was both good and bad. I couldn't do anything wrong. They'd tell my mother. Everybody was your parent in a small town of about 1,000 people. I was blessed to have good churches. I grew up in First Baptist Burnside, Kentucky. Was baptized there in April of 1963. 1969, my family and I joined Beacon Hill Baptist Church in Somerset, and it was there in April of 1976 that I surrendered to ministry, and then was encouraged to go to seminary. Went to seminary in Louisville, and there I joined a church, a Bethlehem Baptist Church, and there I met my wife, and that's one of the blessings of my life. We've been married 43 years, and she's one of the delights. She's my best friend, and she continues to work on me. I am dress challenged. I don't have any taste except in women, and she literally, when we first met, I had a leisure suit, a white belt, white shoes. And she went, no, that is not going to work. And so she's been working on me ever since. I'm a blessed man. And most of us here, as we gather around the tables this week with our family and friends, we could have a long list of blessings, couldn't we? Miss Virgie, I met her, 91, still driving. Lord have mercy. Got her own garden. What'd you say? 5 children, 8 grandkids, and still upright taking nourishment and telling people what to do. I'll tell you, that's good. That's good. Bless you. We all could have a long list of blessings, couldn't we? We have a daughter that lives in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, Christy. She's our only child, her husband Andy. And they have 2 daughters, Emery, who's 5, and Sydney, who's 7. And Charlene and I figured out we should have had them first. That would have been. Dana tells me that he had a Pentecostal moment this week, right? When the grandkid, is this one of them? Well, there you go. The smitest, smartest, brightest child. Is this the rest of them? Now, is this your son or daughter?
Son.
And welcome. Glad you're here. You have a wonderful dad. Even more wonderful mom. And you all live in Texas, right? But you're from Texas, but you're here. So we're glad you're here. We're going to gather around tables this week and count our blessings. Many of us could have a long list. But as we gather, we don't want to be remiss of acknowledging why we gather. And the Psalm 100 does that. So let's read it together. Psalm 100. I'm going to read it from the Christian Standard Bible. Yours will be very close. Psalm 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His, His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. So the psalmist is encouraging us to give thanks, to pause and to be thankful. And he does it in this progressive order. He encourages us to shout joyfully to the Lord. It's worship. There's no way to thank God without being worshipful. In fact, the word give thanks is a Hebrew word that means to uplifted, open hands. We do that sometimes, don't we? You did that when you saw your grandkids. You had a moment, didn't you? You said you were the father of the prodigal son. You're not the prodigal son, but he wasn't excited about you. He was excited about these grandkids, right? But you, and sometimes something good happens. What do? We lift our hands and we're excited. Well, the psalmist's wanting us to lift our hands and to look up and to acknowledge that God is God. That's what he's encouraging us to do. To be thankful. You have to be thankful to someone. Now, we're thankful for people, aren't we? People that bless us, people that help us. I'm thankful for this young lady that plays the piano. Isn't she? She's outstanding. It's amazing how her and son, you married so far up, you know, you got to carry a ladder to kiss her. I mean, you know, it's like, but, you know, so thankful. People that bless us all the time, people that are kind to us, people that help us, people in the healthcare industry that are working so hard to help us in this pandemic, they're people that we need to be thankful for. We could just have a long list of things, but what the psalmist is forcing us to is to realize that the basis and the foundation of our thankfulness is God. We have a tendency to think it's all about us. But the psalmist is saying, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs and acknowledge that the Lord is God. That's really what he's encouraging us to do. Know that the Lord himself is God. The call to thankful living and giving thanks begins with focusing on who God is, the invisible God that made himself visible in Jesus Christ, flesh and blood, stepped out of eternity into time, and for some 33 years or so, walked the earth. He took on human flesh. He emptied himself of the display of his deity and became like us in every way. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, emptying himself of his own concerns. And took upon himself our concerns, took upon ourselves his sin, our sin, took upon himself our sin. The invisible God became visible in Jesus. And so we thank him for that. We thank him for his supernatural birth, for his sinless life, for his atoning death on the cross, for his glorious resurrection, him sending in the Holy Spirit and giving us the Word of God and founding the church. There's so much to be thankful for. It isn't just what we have or what we wear or what we drive in or those kind of things. All those things are temporary. We're called and instructed in how to express our thankfulness to God, and that is in our worship. And Dana, thank you and the choir for leading us in Christ-centered worship. I told him after last week, I said, what I appreciate about you is that the worship is Christ-centered. It's not just about performance. It's really about the gospel, and it's about Jesus. The progression of the psalm is very clear. Know that the Lord himself is God. We shout to acknowledge that he is God all by himself. And he welcomes our praise. He doesn't need it, but he welcomes. He invites us to praise him. Who he is and what he has done for us warrants our praise. And then he goes on to say he is our creator. He made us, and we are his. It's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He owns us. So listen, if he owns you, then he owns everything you have. Everything you have is owned by God. He made us. We are his. We are his possession. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. If you acknowledge that he is God, then it changes everything. Psalm 121, the writer says it's a song of worship as the people of Israel sang as they were going up to Jerusalem to worship. They would pass these hills as they made their way to Jerusalem, and they on the hills would be these pagan sites of worship. And so the psalmster is saying, I lift up my eyes into the mountains. Where does my help come from? He's asking a question. Does my help come from the mountains? Does it come from the pagan idols? No, he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's a lot of things calling for our attention today to worship. There's a lot of things that take up our time and are asking for our energy. Thanksgiving, the Word of God. Worship is a time for us to lift up our eyes to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And of course, the next question is, if God made us, if He made everything that we see and all that is, then the next question is, what does He expect of me? He expects your worship. He expects you to acknowledge Him, that He is God and you are not. He says that He's creator. He created us. We did not create ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Not only can we know God, but the good thing, the exciting thing, the encouraging thing is that He knows us. I don't know any of you very well. I'm getting to know some of you, and hopefully we'll get to know you better as time goes by. But here's the good news. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you, and you're not alone. He knows your family. He knows your struggles. He knows what has happened, what is happening. He knows what's going to happen, and He's with you. He's the Creator, but not an absent one. He comes to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. He comes to us through the fellowship of other believers. He comes to us through the written Word that becomes the living Word of God as we read it and digest it. We acknowledge that the basis of our thanksgiving is expressed in our joyful worship. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and we lift our hands to do. 45 times in the Psalms we're told to lift our hands, to give thanks to God. That's what this thanksgiving is about. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is His will for you in Jesus Christ." Who would have thought a year ago that we'd be worshiping like this? Mask, social distancing, governor given decrees, restaurants closing again, schools shut down. Who would have thought? But I want to tell you today that God is still God. He's not caught off guard by any of this. Who would have thought Eastwood Baptist Church would have been without a pastor for 20 months? But here you are. But the truth is, God's still God. And God's got a plan. We're going to talk about that next week. God's got a plan. And this Thanksgiving, maybe more than any ever in our lives, is to focus our attention on God. Not on what's going on in the culture, not the chaos that's going around us, not all the problems. There's a lot to be upset about. But there's also a lot to be thankful about. Thankfulness should not be dependent on how well my life is going. Being thankful is being able to recognize the good that can come out of a situation as I turn that situation over to the Lord. The thankful person realizes that things could be worse, and they don't forget that God is still in charge, even in the mess of my life. The thankful know that God is good all the time, and His faithfulness and His love endure forever. The psalmist says His faithfulness endures through all generations. God's going to see us through this. And my prayer is that not only Eastwood Baptist Church, but all the churches that claim the name of Jesus will come out of this stronger, more focused on the gospel, more focused on what matters. Part of the root of our being unthankful people is that we focus on the wrong things. Some people have an attitude that life owes them something. Some people have an attitude that they deserve something, that I'm worth it. They have an attitude of there's never enough. I'm always wanting more. And some people have an attitude of resenting that other people are blessed more than them. And the fruits of an ungrateful heart are dissatisfaction, demanding spirit, lack of respect, and ultimately depression. But the way of thanksgiving is in contrast to that. The writer says, shout joyfully to the Lord. Raise your hands and your hearts. I like one of the new choruses written. I'd say new, it's probably 20 years old or more, but Chris Tomlin wrote, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sounds of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promises I have in you. I love some of the new choruses. I love some of the old hymns. Great is thy faithfulness that we sang this morning. The only song I ever sang in public, in church, and once I sang it, Dana, I realized I wasn't called to be a minister of music, and everyone else said amen to that. My wife says, and daughter says, I have one key, and it's loud. They were always embarrassed. We had a men's choir because they could hear me above everybody else. And my daughter says, Dad, why do you have to sing so loud? I said, because I like to sing. She said, well, you don't need to sing that loud, Dad. But I sang in church, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, talks with me along the narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. I want to encourage you this Thanksgiving to sing some of the songs that focus on the faithfulness, the love, the majesty of God. Whatever those are, that's one of my favorites. Whatever those are, this will be a time, instead of singing songs that are maybe just filled with froth, to focus on the Lord God and to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. Worship is acknowledging what God has done. It involves joyful singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving because we serve and worship a living Savior. So I've got three suggestions for you this Thanksgiving. One is, decide to be thankful. Just decide. Now, you can decide to be hateful. You can decide to be ugly. You can decide to be ungrateful. You can decide to be a jerk. Or you can decide to be thankful. It is a conscious decision. Decide to be thankful. The tone of your home and the culture of your church will never be thankful if you don't decide to be thankful. God's still on the throne, and Jesus is still the head of the church. But you can help set the church's temperature. You can. By being faithful. By being thankful. By being a person that decides to be thankful. You have a lot to be thankful for here. I've been here before, but I haven't, you know, I'm going to be here a bit longer, but I've known about your church for a long time. Preached here one time in a conference, and you have great facilities. Outstanding. You ought to be thankful for that. Hello. Right? You should be thankful for that. You have great facilities. You have a wonderful South Campus. You have great staff, and then you have Ed, you know. I told him I was going to pick on him again. And Dana, if Dana ever learns to sing, I mean, it'll be good, man. If people tell me all the time, if you keep preaching, you'll finally make a preacher. I had a guy tell me that, and I said, he's right. You just got to keep at it. Megan, you all didn't get to meet her this service, but you know who Megan is. I led a training at the Warren Association a few years ago for pastors, and I brought her in to talk about children's ministry, and she was outstanding. She is outstanding. I don't know all the staff. I haven't met them all yet. The people I've talked to on the phone have been very encouraging. I'm sure the people at the South Campus, I'll eventually get to meet them. But you know, it would be helpful to this church if you expressed your thankfulness to them during this season. It would be helpful. Hello. Now, I'm right about this, whether you agree with me or not. I'm right about this. You also have a leadership team. I don't know hardly any of them on there. But I can tell you this, they're trying hard to lead this church in the right direction. I was at Zion Baptist over 16 years, and after we were there about 7 years, we had a train wreck. We had 39 committees that had no idea what one didn't know what the other one was doing. We had all these good intentions, but there was no focal point where decisions were being made. And so the 8th year, we decided to totally revamp our church, and we went to a leadership team. We had 8 people that hoped oversaw the ministries, and all the decisions went through them. They eventually came to the church, and the church voted on them. Very similar to what you all have. I was at Springfield Baptist 18 months. I ended last year in August in 2019. But part of their problem was they didn't have a decision-making process. And so we put in a leadership team of 7 people that serve. And again, it's a funnel. I think, personally, I think it's a very healthy model. Once a church gets past about 200, you can't be committee-led, and you can't be led from a business meeting floor. You have to have a mechanism. You got to have people. And you're blessed. It would be a blessing if you took time during this Thanksgiving to write a note to the staff. Thank you. And listen, make it a good note, right? I mean, don't do something stupid. And vent your spleen at time of Thanksgiving. We hear enough of that stuff anyway. Hello. To write a note. Not send an email, not a text, not an Instagram, not Twitter, or put it on Facebook. I'm talking about sitting down with a pad and a little note card. Thank you. Thank you. Be nice to tell that to your leadership team. It'd be nice to tell the people that work. What about the people who work sound? What about that? Aren't we grateful for them? I mean, you know, thank you. I don't even know Daryl's one of them. I don't know all their names. The people that play up here, the musicians and the singers. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of good things. Who put the 527 boxes together? Somebody did that. Who's going to help with the affordable Christmas that's going to impact 180 kids through this church and other kids all around the community? There's a lot of good things to be thankful for. And this Thanksgiving, I just want to encourage you to decide to be thankful and then to determine to speak thankfully. To determine. To smile, to listen, to catch somebody doing something good, to thank people, to thank them for their efforts, even when there appears to be no apparent progress. Thank them for what they're doing. Help build a culture of thankfulness at home, at work, and at church. Deciding to be a thankful person and speaking and living thankfully. Because this church is trying to help you in your desire to follow Jesus. And so we're going to end with thinking about this morning. We got 4 things up here on the board, up on the screen, that we want to encourage you of what this church and this staff is trying to accomplish. Not only this church, but other churches. So let's look at the next slide here. We gather as a body to worship and praise the Lord. Aren't we glad to be here today? Huh? Now, some of you, if you're glad, you ought to tell your face. I can't see your smile, but I can tell you where some of you just aren't, you know. I know some Baptists, I shall not be moved. You know, I ain't going to laugh. I ain't going to be happy. I'm not going to be thankful. I'm coming here. I'm not sure why I'm here. But we want to gather together to help you worship. And you all do it well. Thank you, Dana. We also want to grow. We want to help you grow and to learn the Word of God and to grow in Christ. Now, we're not going to be able to meet in small groups for a while, but still, the intent of the church is to help you make progress. That every year, almost every month, things are getting better. You know more about the Bible. You understand more about who Christ is and what He wants to do in your life. And we do that by helping you learn the Word of God and grow in Christ. Thirdly, we want to encourage you to give. We give to the Lord out of the abundance so others can be blessed. It isn't just money, although, do you all know the church needs money? Oh, that was a shock to you? Did you all know that? Somebody paid for the lights and the heat and the air and the parking lot and the staff and all this. But we're not talking about just money. We're talking about time. We're talking about talents. We're talking about resources. One of the ways that we express our thankfulness is that we give. We give out of the abundance that God given to us. And then finally, the last thing is that we go into the world to praise the Lord and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We gather to worship. We come together to grow in our understanding of the Word of God, of what He wants to do in our lives. We give of our time, talents, and resources, and we then commit to go into the world to praise the Lord. That's our prayer for you this Thanksgiving season as we stand together. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this church and the leaders and all the ministry that's going on, some that we don't even know about. Lives that are being touched, children being ministered to. And we pray, Lord, for our leaders in this time of the pandemic. We pray for our governor and other state leaders, county leaders, church leaders, school leaders, the confusion of having to shut things down and almost start again. But Lord, we pray in all of this, we'll not lose sight that you're God all by yourself. Help us to focus on you, who you are, and that you will see us through this, that your faithfulness endures to all generations, and you will see us through. Lord, help us this Thanksgiving as we gather with family and friends to express our thankfulness for each other, but also our thankfulness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.